I would like us to fill up the second bench on this side and both sides and the fourth bench. We'll leave this front bench open. So I need volunteers from the back to be brave and come forward. Thank you. Okay, so keep standing up. Keep standing up. You can do it. You can do it. Good. Yeah, second bench on both sides and fourth bench. Lawrence, you want to come? And Orns and Chris and Lester's and we're in a classroom, so it's okay to talk and to move around and things. Okay. All right. There's still more room up here. See, Merle's, Titus's, Larry's, do you have time to come up here, please? You can do it. You can't. Okay. Okay. That's good. We'll take that. This evening, in our classroom, we want to talk about how music influences texts and how we sing the music influences the meaning. So before we do that, we'll have two big ideas and a little bit of theory, but it will get very interactive and practical, so be prepared for a good learning time together. That's what I'm looking forward to. All right. Worship. What is the purpose of music in our worship here at church? Perhaps before we can answer the question, we have to answer the question, why do we have church? So let's hear some ideas. Why does the church exist? Okay, Jesus put it in place. Come again? Working together for a cause. Good. We are his representatives. So as a church, we represent Christ. Good. Yes. We are commanded to come together. Okay. Yes. Okay, so Nathan said several things. We're here to build or edify each other, encourage each other for a greater purpose. David. Good. Okay, these are terrific answers. Tonight, I think what Nathan was alluding to is one of the purposes of the church is to help us grow up. Ephesians 4, 11 to 13, and he gave, these are the different roles in the church. He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers, and they equipped the saints for the work of the ministry to build up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So it's as though Paul is saying, all these different jobs are here to help us all grow up. And that's maybe one of the purposes of church. So, the first big idea I have this evening is that our music has to serve the same purpose that we care about as a church for our music to be effective. If it's not, if our music isn't helping us grow up, it's not effective for what we're trying to do. Okay. Big idea number two. What we do again and again shapes us. I'm assuming that most of us drove our cars here tonight. And that most of us, if we went to town today, we got in our car and we drove there and then we got in our car and we drove back. So you didn't walk, you drove, right? Okay, so we have cars and we use them every day. So therefore, as a society and a people group, more of us are obese than we used to be. And there's a cause and there's an effect. And possibly there's correlation. I'm not saying that this is the reason for this, but we have cars and our cars are shaping us. Okay, thank you. Okay, so this big idea carried here to church is that our songs shape us. So, humor me. You're on an island and you have access to two pieces of music, and you must choose one of them that will shape your understanding of who God is and why you are here on this earth. And we'll sing both songs, and I want you to be thinking about, if this were the only song that we could sing, what would it do to my understanding of who God is? How would it shape me? So, first song, We Are Going Down the Valley. Thank you. And the next song, I Sing the Mighty Power of God.
Oh, I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at his command, and all the stars obey.
Which song would you choose? Okay, sorry. It was really obvious for the sake of the comparison. But we repeatedly come to church, and we repeatedly sing songs, and it matters what we sing. Okay, so big idea number one was, church is here to help us grow up. Big idea number two, what we do again and again shapes us. So, therefore, our songs need to help us grow up, and they will shape what we believe about God and the world and who we become. Okay. Secondly, how we sing them will also shape the meaning of the songs. So now is when it gets a little more practical. How we sing songs is important because it also shapes us. I would venture that it's a reflection of how we feel toward God. And you can disagree with me later if you'd like to. For now, everyone lean forward and put your elbows on your knees. Something like this. Okay, good. And you can look down or look around, whatever comfortable. Let's sing God Is So Good.
God is so good. God is so good.
Elbows up, use an alert posture, and let's sing He Answers Prayer. Just listen to the difference in the sound.
He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He is so good to me.
It affects how it sounds, how we feel, and what's happening between us and God and us and other people. So our posture when we sing matters. I said a little bit ago it reflects how you feel at the moment, and that's maybe more true for body language in general than it is here in church, but you can also sometimes change how you feel by changing your posture. A study I heard of was that people who use a big, widespread posture like this and lean back in their chair are feeling powerful. You know, they take up a lot of room, and you can use this posture right before you go into an interview or something like that to help you to feel more confident and relaxed. And the posture actually does change it. I encourage you to try it instead of, like, I'm not very important and I don't think you should listen to what I say tonight. And it's, yeah. I mean, this is kind of how I'm feeling because I'm talking like this. Anyway, okay. So that's one reason why good posture is important while we sing. Another reason is that your body becomes a better resonating chamber. So there is actually more space for the sound. And third, you can breathe better. So all those things affect our sound. Good. Let's try a similar exercise with our books. Take out your books and sing number 683. I invite you to lay them on your lap and then look at them frequently as we sing the first line. Something like that. Away from you just a little bit. It doesn't have to be hyperextended or right here. Something comfortable, kind of elbows at your sides, but the book is up, your face is up, and you are upright. That's kind of the operative word. Try that sound again.
My God,
I think. Or do you hear the difference? There's some difference. Okay, I posit, or I feel that these two simple things would make a large difference in our worship, in our music. So if you remember two things from this evening, it would be your posture matters when you're singing, and holding your book up matters. All right. Another thing, let's sing 273, please. 273.
Wake the song of Jubilee, let it echo o'er the sea.
Thank you. Did you notice any problems? Oh, okay, it was my bad. I did it purposely. You weren't ready to help me start the song. So the song leader's job is to facilitate. That's what we're trying to do as song leaders. But so as we start the song, another thing that we want to do is we want to breathe together. And so that's one of our goals. So you didn't have a chance to breathe with me, and I was off to the races, and you were like, oh, where's this guy going? And we don't know. Okay, so let's sing number 192. Jesus, thou mighty Lord. I'll conduct this in two. And let's just think about breathing and starting together. We'll see what that does.
Jesus, thou mighty Lord,
was tremendous. However, not all the breaths are the same. That required, let's just practice it. Don't sing, but breathe with me for that song. Okay, try it again. Thank you. Excellent. And let's turn to 144.
Thank
For God so loved us. This requires, we had a really big breath in the last one. Gee, and this one is a short one, so it's for God so loved. And that's about what you'll see and what I want to hear. Maybe this time without singing. Sorry, I shouldn't have given you this. And you'll see. And that's, then I heard somebody breathe. Try it again. Breathe with me. For God. And just say, for God. And for God. Excellent. And now let's sing that. So not all breaths are the same. Some are large and take a long time. Gee! And some are short. For God so loved. So being ready to sing means looking at your song and thinking ahead, what kind of breath do I want to take? So another practical idea. Okay. Music can change the meaning of a particular text. And I want to show it to you, not just tell it to you. So turn to number 652, please. So thumb or finger in there, and turn to 291. So let's sing 652, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. This is the normal tune. And let's just see what parts of the text stand out to you as we sing this. Yes, your input. What parts of the text were you thinking about or you feeling as you sang that? Maybe it's a word?
Carry?
Good. Privilege. Not be discouraged. Mm-hmm. Good.
Friendship.
Mm-hmm. Good. Say it again. All. Okay. Good. Those are excellent answers. Let's now sing that text, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, to the tune of 291. So it'll be, What a Friend We, that kind of thing. And think about what words are spoken to you during this one.
Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus, Lord, our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh,
And your response? Mm-hmm. Okay. To that thought, okay. That's interesting. Okay. Good. Okay. Okay, so there's a little more soul stirring. Judith? Peace? Okay, good. I think I would characterize it as saying the first rendition of What a Friend is life is good, we are happy, and we don't have a care in the world. And perhaps what I'm hearing you say on this one is that it's about the peace he gives, it's about what he is doing, and it's kind of the other, perhaps the sins and griefs kind of side of thing that he is bearing for us. Okay, so what I wanted to show is that different parts of the text tend to be emphasized with different music. Time is of the essence. Let's do okay, a little more explanation. And one more example, and then Shane will lead us in a few songs. Thank you very much for bearing with me this evening. We as conductors work hard at letting the text speak of each song through the music. And like Shane was saying, a good piece of music sings itself. The meaning of the music and the meaning of the text matches. And what we try to do as song leaders is then combine our feelings or how we interpret the music to match the song. So, the song I want us to go to is 272. It is the tune Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee with new text, or not as familiar text, I should say. And the first verse goes like this: Onward march, all conquering Jesus, gird thee on thy mighty sword. Sinful earth can ne'er oppose thee, hell itself must dread thy word. So let's sing that. And I think as a song leader, a key word there is march. And so as I look at that text, I will try to emphasize the fact that Jesus Christ is victorious and he is marching to the end. So let's see what we can think about that.
Mm-hmm. Onward march, all conquering Jesus, gird thee on thy mighty sword. Sinful earth can ne'er oppose thee, hell itself must dread thy word.
Thank you, that's good. As we sang that, you'll notice this heavy heavy beat that lands like this, and you feel it in your bodies, hopefully. And so as you notice this, I want you to think about this heavy feeling, and we'll sing it. We'll sing that much one more time.
Onward march, all conquering Jesus, gird thee on thy mighty sword. Sinful earth can ne'er oppose thee, hell itself must dread thy word.
Thank you. And now let's sing verse 3. And the text says, or the first half, E'en today I hear sweet music, praises of a blood-freed throng. Full deliverance, glorious freedom, are there themes for endless song? As a song leader, I'm looking at that and I'm saying, well, it's not really a march. It's talking about together we are hearing sweet music as a people of God because there is deliverance and freedom. So I'm going to use a totally different approach. See if you can feel inside your bodies what this might be.
Mm-hmm.
difference? You sang it differently. Let's do it one more time, and just so you can feel it again. And go.
Kings would say I hear sweet music praises of a blood free from for deliverance, joyous freedom. Are there things for endless song?
Thank you. Shane, you have 10 minutes, and you may close the service as you see fit.
Turn to 531. Several things to note, especially the contrast in the first two lines. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom should I be afraid? Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear, and etc., etc. In the chorus, you'll notice that they don't really, the writer doesn't diversify a lot in the text. In a well-written hymn, and the key is well-written, if a writer repeats something, it is a good time to sit up and take notice. Why? And this is a terrific illustration of every time they repeat this phrase, well, let the song sing itself. Let's get out of the way. And do